Magandang umaga sa inyong lahat. I'm sorry, can we go back to the first slide? I'm realizing how plain it looks. No? Medyo matanda na ako kaya hindi ako marunong mag-colored background and all that. No? Anyway, Rizal the ethnologist. Many of us know of Rizal as a physician, as an engineer, as an artist, as a writer. But there's another side to him that's not talked about enough. No? And it's a side that I wasn't even aware of kahit anthropologist nga ako. How did I discover this particular aspect? Let's have the first slide. I'm a medical anthropologist, and I was researching on Rudolf Virchow, who is much venerated in medicine. No? He's said to be the father of pathology, the study of diseases. He was also a social reformer. No? And I came across a particular article. It turned out that Rudolf Virchow was also the president of the Berlin Society of Ethnology, Anthropology, Ethnology, and Prehistory. No? And in 1897, during their general meeting, he delivered an obituary paying homage, and these are the words translated from German, to a highly esteemed ordinary member, ordinary meaning regular member, Dr. Jose Rizal from Luzon, Philippines. No? Next slide, please. Virchow described how Rizal delivered a paper on Tagalog verse in 1887. Apparently, this was a requirement to be accepted into the organization. No? So, nung nag-deliver siya ng kanyang paper, after that, he was made a member of, very often you'll find the reference just to the Berlin Ethnological Society. No? And then Virchow goes on to quote from Ferdinand Blumentritt, who had written an obituary which was published in the International Journal of Ethnologists, describing Rizal, the ethnologist. And this surprised me. It raised a lot of questions. I said, Rizal, the ethnologist? The questions I had, no? First, how did Rizal become an ethnologist? Why was he interested in ethnology? What was his practice of this thing called ethnology? Kaming mga nasa academe kasi, where are the publications? No? Because I've been teaching anthropology for years and we never had Rizal in our list of publications. No? And most importantly, how did ethnology influence his thinking? Okay. So the first question, how did Rizal become an ethnologist? No, he lived in the Philippines and as many of you know, there was no anthropology course until 1914. No? UP was the first to offer. Wala sa Ateneo, wala sa UST, wala sa mga ibang eskwela. UP ang nauna dito. No? So malapit na ang centennial namin. No? And so I said, he did not train in anthropology and ethnology is part of it. No? Next slide. And then I began to wonder just exactly what did they mean by ethnology. And if you look at the 1902 edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which incidentally is on the internet, so you don't have to go to a library, it has a very interesting definition of ethnology. And I know some of you are probably wondering, ano ba itong ethnology? Nandito nga yung definition. At the end of the 19th century, ethnography was said to be the description, and ethnology would be the rational exposition. Okay, the next part is important. Of hordes, clans, tribes, and nations. And then I put here in bold print, especially in the earlier, the savage and barbarous stages of their progress. So ethnology, if you want to put it simply, in the late 19th century, ethnology was the study of savages and barbarians. Okay, so yan ang ethnology. Next slide, please. In the same entry in Encyclopedia Britannica, it says that ethnography and ethnology, of course, related ang dalawa, no? And that they are related also to anthropology proper. So ito ang anthropology and ethnology is part of it. But anthropology also involves the anatomists and physiologists, which explains why Rudolf Virchow, who was a doctor, was also an anthropologist and ethnologist. No? In fact, he founded the Berlin Ethnological Society. So doctors were active in anthropology. They were interested in the physical aspects. And again, look at the bold print here. No? The, the feeling at that time was that anthropology should deal with the different races of man, their elements, modifications, and possible origin. And I think this is very important for us to understand where anthropology is today. Meaning, yung umpisa namin was really a study of so-called barbarians and a study of races. Next slide. Okay, there's another entry in here in Encyclopedia Britannica, which simply says that ethnography, ethnology, and anthropology, nakaugnay ito sa iba't ibang mga disiplina, no, including philology, and I felt that was important for reasons to be explained shortly. Philology, jurisprudence, geography, archaeology, etc. Next slide. Okay, so to summarize, ethnography and ethnology in Rizal's time was really a study of savages and barbarians in a search for certain laws. In anthropology, we call this classical evolutionism. There's the belief that all societies move from savagery to barbarism to civilization. This is what was taught in the 19th century. What is not said in Encyclopedia Britannica is that the study of the savages would, of course, have to be done by the Europeans because they were the civilized ones. Okay? So this is the picture in Rizal's time. Next slide. So what was Rizal's encounter here, considering that Rizal would have been considered one of those savages and barbarians? No? Kasi colonized, no? Galing siya sa colonizer. So in the late 19th century, they were already Filipinists. This was a term that was actually used in the literature. These were the experts on the Philippines, no? And they were all Westerners, they were all Europeans, many of whom never visited the Philippines but produced dozens of articles about us. No? This is armchair anthropology. No? And that included Rudolf Virchow, who wrote a whole book on peopling of the Philippines, no? And Ferdinand Blumentritt, who was the best friend of Rizal. No? Next slide. Sample lang ng mga works on the Philippines, no? There were a lot of published articles at that time. Blumentritt had an ethnographic map of Mindanao. Von Humboldt wrote about the languages of the Malayo-Polynesian family. This is the old name for the Austronesian family. No? And I'm mentioning it because Rizal was probably enamored by Van Humboldt's book because in there he calls Tagalog the richest and most perfect language of the Malayo-Polynesian group. No? I mentioned earlier Virchow's study of the peopling of the Philippines. He was the one actually. He was one of those who talked about the Negritos, then the Malay, and then the Indonesians. No? Yesterday, one of the speakers talked about Hans Meyer and his work on the Igorots. Small sample lang ito, pero makikita ninyo, lahat yan ay Europeans, no? At lahat yan ay lalaki, incidentally. And they're all European men writing on the barbarians of the Philippines. No? Next slide, please. There were a few Filipino ethnographers. No? Trinidad Pardo de Tavera wrote mainly on language, such as Sanskrit influence on the language. Isabella de los Reyes, no? Blumentritt actually said, I'm pleased with the very valuable ethnographic works he's produced, but then notes that Isabella de los Reyes never studied ethnography, which would have made his studies even better. No? Next slide. Okay. Sino naman si Rizal dito? No? What was his ethnology? No? I was able to reconstruct reading through the materials he produced. Rizal's ethnology was a combination of different fields. No? There was language. He was actually considered a philologist, what we would call historical linguistics today. He liked to compare languages. No? He was comparing Tagalog to Visayan, which was probably Cebuano. He had several studies. No? One is on orthography, which I'll return to later. And the Tagalish Viscount was probably what he presented at the Berlin Ethnological Society. Samples lang ito. No? Next slide. He was very interested in religion. Blumentritt mentioned that Rizal read Müller, who was responsible for sacred books of the East, mga translations ito ng Indian works from Sanskrit. This was 55 volumes of sacred books. No? Ganun katindi ang trabaho nila. And Rizal was interested in this kind of work. I don't know if he read the 55 volumes. No? I wouldn't be surprised if he did. No? Next slide. Rizal, of course, was interested in history, in philosophy. I just wanted to mention a point brought out in Floro Kibuyan's book. No? He was very influenced by Enlightenment philosophers like Voltaire, But he was also interested in post-enlightenment thinking, meaning people who were beginning to react to the Industrial Revolution. Next slide. Okay, so eto na si Rizal. No? What does Rizal represent here? When you think about it now, it was a very radical move on the part of Rizal to enter ethnology because basically he was a native. He was one of the barbarians or savages suddenly speaking out. No? You'll notice here the first contact he had with Blumentritt, ang ginawa ni Rizal, he wrote Blumentritt and said, I know you're interested in Philippine languages. No? And this is translation. I take the liberty of sending you a valuable book. Okay? It was an arithmetic book by Rufino Baltasar Hernandez, isang Pilipino nga. And he says that it's written in Tagalog by a countryman of mine. So here's Blumentritt interested in Tagalog. And here's Rizal, who he has never met, giving him a book on arithmetic, pero written in Tagalog. And his point here is to say, Hernandez writes in two languages, Spanish and Tagalog. He says his Spanish is mediocre because the author is only a modest writer, but the Tagalog portion is good, and that is precisely the language spoken in our province. No? So eto si Rizal, there's a lot of audacity here, no? Lakas ng loob, no? To say, eto, here is a book in Tagalog that I want you to read. And that caught Blumentritt's interest and started the correspondence that led to more than 200 letters. Okay. What was his relationship with Blumentritt and other European Filipinists? No? It's captured by one of his letters. He says here, I am at your service for everything concerning our language, which I have studied since my early youth. Actually, hindi siya ganun kagaling sa Tagalog. No? Pero, and he admits it, my knowledge of it is not great, but at least it may be useful to you as much as the grammars written by those ignorant priors. So he's saying, hindi ako masyadong magaling sa Tagalog, pero mas magaling ako kaysa mga priors na yan. No? So here, again, there's audacity saying, you listen to us natives. No? Next slide. Next slide. Yung previous? Okay. Here's another example of the kind of relationship he had with the European Filipinists. No? There was an exposition in Madrid, no, where they had Filipinos being displayed. Okay? This was before the 1904 St. Louis Exposition. And Blumentritt had apologized in one of his letters. He said, I'm so busy, I probably will miss the Madrid Exposition. And this is his reply. He says, don't mind the Philippine Exposition in Madrid. According to the newspapers, it will not be a Philippine exposition, but an exhibition of Igorots who will play their musical instruments, cook, sing, and dance. But I pity these poor people. They will be exhibited in the Zoological Garden of Madrid, and with their simple original apparel, they will catch a dreadful pneumonia. Rizal, bilang doctor, he was really concerned there. But there is also a deeper concern here, which he shared with the other ilustrado. They were worried that the exhibit of the Igorots would make the Spaniards think that all Filipinos were like the Igorots. So medyo may condescension din, no? And this is important, that he was a product of his times. He was trying to prove to people that we Filipinos, no, I am an example of the Filipino today who is educated. We are not like those Igorots. No? M.H. Del Pilar, in fact, writes about when this was going on, one day he's walking down the street in Madrid and there's some Spanish women who pass by and they look at him and they go, qué horror, no? It's like one of the Igorots who's on display is walking out in our streets. No? So medyo takot na takot sila dito sa representation. No? Next slide. So Rizal keeps warning the European Filipinos that they have to listen to the natives, meaning them, the ilustrado. No? In 1889, some people have complained about the two. No? Dr. Rizal interested, he was able to get the Filipinos, the Europeans, to join an organization of Filipinos. I think this is very significant. The move came from him. He said, why don't you band together? And it was very tactical. He said, Blumentritt, you can become the president. I forgot who became secretary. Pero puro Europeans yan. So it's almost like, sige kayong nga officers. But the initiative came from him. And I think this is very important, meaning a Filipino being able to call the shots for an organization that was supposed to be studying the Philippines. That is not happening today. You know, we have so many Philippine studies organizations where the initiative is from overseas rather than from here. You know? Okay. So another important thing that Rizal did was to shift ethnography to the study of everyday life. You know, you saw yesterday that he was sending things like a barong, a salakot, even a cigarette lighter. You know? Fascinating little instrument. No? Okay. Rizal was a very good ethnologist because he was very, very curious. No? He read whatever was available from all fields. He had about 1,000 books in Spanish, German, French, and English. No? I realized that much of his medical books, many of the medical books were actually in French, but the social science books were in German. No? So he picked up the social sciences mainly from Germans. No? Next slide, please. Nabanggit din kahapon, he was a polyglot. No? But what I realized doing the research for this presentation was that he learned languages because he wanted to understand people's cultures. In a letter to Blumentritt, he said, I think I'll study Dutch because the Dutch are neighbors and they have written much about the Filipinos. No? In another letter, he said, he told Blumentritt he wanted to learn Tiruray. That would have been his 23rd language. No? Hindi niya natuloy. No? Next slide. Rizal did a lot of field work. He was interested in studying the Subanon, the Moros of Mindanao, marami siyang mga plano, no? Many of which could not be fulfilled. No? And Blumentritt happens to mention in his obituary that Rizal also went off to study French and German peasants. I remember a letter where he says he was going to Bohemia for 10 days to look at how people live. No? So this is also interesting. Here is one of the barbarians going to study the civilized peoples. No, binaligtad niya yung pag-aaral dito. No? Next slide. So how did ethnology influence Rizal? No? We have a term, grounded theory. Rizal moved back and forth between theory and practice. No? He had some sense of what he wanted to do, which was to look at the concept of race. He wanted to prove that the Filipino race had something before the Spaniards arrived, tapos pinutol ng mga Kastila. Next slide. He was very much interested in race, but this passage, I think, needs to be looked at more closely. He says that races can be Caucasian, Mongolian, Malayan, but he says that they can be used sometimes for nations as well. Na pansin niya, people talk about the Tagalog race, the Visayan race, but then they talk about the Spanish nation. I think he had this concept that eventually we should be nations, no? That race is a construct which we're playing with right now. No? It's not very clear, but he seemed to be evolving in that direction. No? Next slide. We find that ethnology, the reason we could not find ethnological publication by Rizal was because ethnology was in everything else he wrote. He did not bother to produce ethnologies in the traditional sense. He instead weaved it into his studies on indolence. Hindi ko nababasahin itong parte. No? Next slide. He had ethnology in all his books, no? The three books which were condemned by the Catholic Church, no? Mga masasamang libro. No? Next slide. Let me just give an example of ethnography in his novels. In Noli, he talks about Doña Pia going off to the Virgin of Kaysaysay in Taal, nagbibigay ng alms, going to the Virgin of Turumba, pero wala pa rin nangyari. Para mabuntis, pero walang nangyari. Then Fray Damaso advised her to go to Obando to dance at the Fiesta of San Pascual. Ethnography din ito. No? Next slide. Tuloy pa natin. Nung pinanganak na si Maria Clara, no? Napansin na Maria Clara's skin was white as cotton. No? At natataka nga ang mga kamag-anak, and one of the aunts ascribed her half-European features to Doña Pia, who was seen to be praying before the image of St. Anthony na puti. Kaya maputi daw si Maria Clara. No? We all know the real reason na maputi si Maria Clara. Hindi sa paglilihi, no? Okay? Kundi sino ang nagbuntis sa kanya. No? But this is Rizal, humorous, weaving in ethnography. So I want our anthro students to read that, or my medical anthro students to read Noli, to look at all these medical beliefs. No? We also know ethnography was in his personal life. Next slide. This is a very important passage, a letter to a Jesuit, where he says, let's look at the last part. He says that nag-aral na siya ng relihiyon, and he said, in comparing the religions, one cannot fail to recognize in all of them the human imprint and the stamp of time during which they were written. He's basically saying what we're saying now, religions are human constructions. No? Gawa yan ng tao, may tatak ng tao, and it depends on the historical period. Very advanced thinking when you look at it right now. Next slide. Rizal was probably into, in a way, he was an applied anthropologist. He wanted to promote the Baybayin as a local tool for literacy. He wanted change in the orthography. Isang example, kasi sabi niya, yung ang hirap naman yung katay, tapos kinatay, ibang spelling. So kung letter K yan, di katay, katay kinatay, mas simple yan. No? So very, very practical use of a study of culture. No? Next slide. Okay, what are the challenges of Rizal for today's anthropology? I think we anthropologists need to be open to all fields like he was. We need to be able to reread previous work as he did with Morga. We need to theorize, as Professor Alatas said yesterday, moving away from the subject-object dichotomy, meaning ako ang nag-aaral sa iyo, no? Ikaw ang object ng research ko. And we need, as natives, to take the lead in the study of Philippine society and culture. Next slide. I would go as far as suggesting we need an anthropology of Rizal to look at Rizal's presence in today's cultural politics and in our popular imagination. Ano ang tingin ng tao kay Rizal out in the streets? No? Next slide. Very well captured by a poster of Rizal with the Baybayin behind. This is being sold on the internet for $17 together with t-shirts and other things. Ito ang Rizal na pumapasok sa imahinasyon ng mga tao. No? Dalawang slides na lang. Next slide. An anthropology of Rizal would mean we also need to reread Rizal. There are other issues which we need to discuss. Rizal tended to romanticize the past, no? The pre-colonial past, because he wanted so badly to prove. No? Okay, one more slide. And finally, we need to ask new questions. Ambeto Campo said this yesterday. And also to ask old questions with new answers as we try to resolve the many social cancers that we have today. Marami pong salamat.